So did y'all hear the thunder and lightning last night? Hear and see? Our cat had a rough night. Did any of you have pets that had a rough night? Yeah. I wasn't really paying attention to her, and I really hardly noticed the thunder until I noticed that she was behaving very strangely. She was kind of crouched low and looking not like her usual bold self, and letting out a whimpering meow, which was very rare also. So we both got some cuddles, and she preferred to be hiding out underneath some place where she could feel safe. When the rough times come, who or what gives you shelter and comfort? We're doing a very short little mini-series on essential spiritual practices here at the end of this month. It's about deepening our connection with God, the source of life, the holy mystery. And why? Because it's what we were made for. Because our souls are restless until we find our rest in God, in divine love, the holy three in one. I would love to tell you some stories about my friends Lori and Dwight, who devastatingly lost their teenage daughter, who died by suicide, and how they found deep strength to weather that unimaginable grief and to use that experience to help and minister to others. I would love to tell you about my Uncle Jack, who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer way back in his early 30s. And against all medical expertise and experience, he went on to live more than another 30 years and built bridges of reconciliation in poor communities in Osaka, Japan. I would love to tell you about my son, our son, Luke, who some of you have already heard about before. He struggled with crippling anxiety and couldn't attend school for several years. And now, in the marvelous irony of God's providence, is a teacher and spends a lot of time in school. I could tell you about my own life and marriage and the way God held me through the darkest moments of a relationship that seemed irreparably broken, and facing the truth of my own darkness and pain. Many people of deep faith, including my own mom, who I have had the privilege of accompanying in the very final days of their earthly life, and who died or graduated, as my mom used to say, with peace and confidence in being loved and held by God as they passed. I could share these and many other stories of people who were and are deeply and intimately connected with their Creator and found extraordinary strength through some of the most unimaginable pain and hardship, and who had such a profound sense of joy and peace and purpose in their lives because they cultivated a living relationship with the divine mystery that we often call God. They learned to listen and hear and feel the voice of the Holy in their daily lives, and it made all the difference. It makes all the difference. That is the power of a life of prayer and a lifestyle of spiritual practices that help us to immerse ourselves in the presence of the Spirit. Last week, we reflected on prayer in many forms, which is the central practice of the Spirit-filled life, not only in our own religious tradition, but in so many others. And this week, we continue with another prayer practice for cultivating an awareness of the presence of God in our everyday lives. Hopefully you all got a copy of this little pamphlet as you came in. If you didn't, there's lots more you can get on your way out. We all have great days, I hope, when we can't wait to tell somebody what happened today and to share our joy with them. And we all have crappy days, even terrible days, when we need to know that we're not alone to share that pain, that frustration. But most of our days are not one or the other, right? Most of our days aren't especially bad or especially good. They are just days that come and go with demands that require our time and attention. And at the end of our day, we don't tend to give much thought to what happened and why. But what if reflecting on our day with God meant that we would slowly but surely have a better tomorrow? Not because we're tapping into some unique tip or trick of self-improvement, but because when we reflect on our day with God, we can start to recognize where they have been at work in us and around us. Like the psalmist says in our reading, God knows our every move, and the Spirit is with us wherever we go. What if God is far more active in our lives than we realized ever before? The prayer practice that I want to share with you today is an ancient one developed in the Middle Ages by Saint Ignatius of Loyola. But it wasn't really totally new even then. Our psalm for today describes something similar. It's a way to notice where the Divine Spirit is present and at work in each moment of our day. We'll go to the next slide, and I'll show you that the best and most simple resource that I have found for this practice is a short little book called Sleeping with Bread. And it may look like a children's book, but it's not. It's just got some wonderful artwork. And it's called Sleeping with Bread because of this story. During the bombing raids of World War II, thousands of children were orphaned and left to starve. The fortunate ones were rescued and placed in camps or homes where they received food and good care. But many of these children who had experienced such terrible trauma could not sleep at night. They were afraid of waking up to find themselves once again homeless and without food. And finally, somebody hit upon a marvelous idea of giving each child a small piece of bread to hold on as they went to bed. Holding their bread, these children could finally sleep in peace. All through the night, the bread reminded them, "Today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow." That idea of holding on to bread, sleeping with bread, holding what gives us life, is the core idea in this practice. The old Latin name for it is the examen, which obviously comes from the same root as the English word examine. It's about examining and reflecting on the moments of our day to discover the presence of God in those moments. When we slow down to think about our day with God from the very beginning, from the moment we open our eyes all the way to laying down our head on our pillow at night, we begin to see where God was present in ways we wouldn't otherwise recognize. Maybe it was the unexpected encouragement we received from a friend or coworker, or that maybe it's just that first sip of coffee in the morning. Or maybe it was the moment that we felt our beloved's touch. It also helps us to see the ways that we resisted or missed the invitations from God to walk in step with the Spirit. And the moments when we cooperated with and responded to that invitation. When we look back on our day with God, it's not about feeling better or worse about ourselves. It's not about judgment or guilt. That's what happens when we look at our day without God, in the absence of grace. But when we look at our days with the Holy One, we can see the areas, the times, when we were joyful and when we were sad, when we were grateful and when we were not. We develop an awareness of God's grace in every moment. And as we become more aware of God and their activity, their presence, we become more intentional carriers of God's Spirit, God's presence. So this isn't just for our benefit, it is for the benefit of everyone around us. Now, I have to admit that I don't practice this daily examen as regularly as I would like to. But every time I do, I fall asleep with more peace, and I wake up with more anticipation of the Spirit's activity in my day-to-day life. We'll go to the next slide. This simple process is briefly outlined in the pamphlet that hopefully you received. It's right on the inside right-hand side where it says the examine process. And there's many different descriptions of this. And here it is very briefly. First, you find a time and a place of quiet and calm. Perhaps you light a candle, or you might even take a walk. I had a powerful experience when I was in Naramata several weeks ago, and I had the opportunity to walk the labyrinth that is there. And I did an examine as I walked the labyrinth, and I was amazed at how the focus of one step in front of the other helped me to remember the details of the last day of yesterday, because I often have trouble bringing those to mind. So for some of us, walking helps. The second step is to ask God to bring to your heart, bring to mind the moment today for which you are most grateful. We're inviting God's Spirit to guide us as we review our day. And so we replay our day like a movie in our head, starting with the moment we woke up and going through each part of our day. We ask the Spirit to tell us, to show us, to remind us of those moments when we were most grateful. And then we ask God to bring to our hearts the moment in our day when we were least grateful. And we sit with that, and we remember and we ponder. Not to solve a problem, not to feel guilty or judge ourselves, just to sit with that awareness of when we were least grateful or that we felt far away from God or that we felt sad or uncomfortable. And finally, having thought of those moments throughout our day, we give thanks for whatever we have experienced. And many of us find it helpful to journal what we noticed. It doesn't have to be well written or long, just a few thoughts. Or perhaps we might share them with somebody else. In its simplest form, the examine means asking ourselves questions which are designed to help us identify the consolations and the desolations in our lives. Those are the old terms from the beginning of this practice. It's about the interior movements through which divine revelation unfolds. We learn to recognize these things which give us life and energy or drag energy away from us, leaving us feeling drained or empty instead of renewed and encouraged. The examine can also help us identify patterns in our responses which might need our attention, such as a tendency to avoid conflict, or to keep silent instead of speaking out about something important. Consistent attention to these interior movements can help us, in the long term, resolve problems and discern a way forward which will enable us to live out our unique way of giving and receiving love. In my practice of this over many years, it helped me learn what are the activities that give me life and how can I do those more? What are the events and the moments that take life away from me How can I reduce those times in my life? The last section of our psalm reading today speaks about how God made us and fashioned us. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God knows us so well because God made us from the beginning, and God continues to form us throughout our lives. Friends, God knows us even better than we know ourselves. And God is always with us. As we like to say every week, we are not alone. God has created us and continues to remake us. God knows you. You are not alone. And God can remake you into all that you were meant to be.